Welcome now to the Midday for Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we have the delight to look forward to of three works played by a charming and virtuosic young violinist who's actually been on the show before and has been doing a lot of things since then, too. Welcome back to the Midday, Emily Hauer.
Thank you so much for having me.
Come down from Appleton, you're homeschooled there?
Yes, I am going to be beginning my sophomore year.
Yeah, sophomore year in high school.
Yes.
And now how long have you been playing the violin?
Well, my family and I have a little bit of disagreement about that. I say I started when I was two, but they say I started when I was three. So we'll go with three. I've been playing for 12 years.
Why did you wait so long? Why all the stalling around?
Well, I guess my parents didn't, I don't know, I was really small and little and, I don't know, just...
If you're smaller than the violin, then probably it's too hard to play.
Right. They started me out on a cardboard box, so...
A cardboard box? How, yes. Is that often done?
I don't really know. It happened to me.
What kind of sound can you get out of a cardboard box?
None, actually. It saved them the painfulness of hearing me play Suzuki.
So do you remember playing the cardboard box?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay, so you don't know if it was fun or not to play this instrument that had no sound coming out of it.
No, you don't play anything out of tune. That's nice.
It's kind of like the watch that's right twice a day, you know, even when it's stopped. So do you remember then enjoying playing the violin? Is this something that you clamored for as a two-year-old or a three-year-old? Or was it something that you, like so many performers, I'll put that in a broad sense, did you have to kind of slog through it? Do you remember?
Well, I think that since all my siblings played violin and piano and one played guitar, I think it was just kind of in the family. I wanted to be part of what they were doing. So I just wanted to play violin just the same as the rest of them. And I think I felt included in what they were doing. So it was a lot of fun.
Do they play piano and guitar?
The oldest plays piano and guitar, and the rest play piano and violin.
And you play piano and violin?
Same, yes.
And actually, you won some nice accolades playing the piano, too.
Yes, I used to compete in WMTA on piano. I did that for quite a few years, and then I switched to Professor Michael Mizrahi at Lawrence University, and then I just started learning pieces and not doing competitions.
Now, do you piano, violin, and guitar, there's not a lot of music written for that combination, but do you ever perform with your siblings?
I collaborate with the siblings that play violin and piano. We'll do duets or trios of violin, or we'll play piano-violin things, or most often I will turn pages as the youngest.
It's good to be good at that, too.
Yes. Yep. Besides that, I once collaborated with the oldest. We just would jam out in the basement. I would sing, and he would play guitar, and it was kind of fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is supposed to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole idea of music. Yep, lift us up.
Both for the performer and the audience.
Yes, definitely.
You recently played, I don't know if it was your most recent performance, it was back on June 29th, I think, is when it turned out to be the concert on the square, the first concert on the square of the season. You played a notoriously difficult piece, Tsagaan, wasn't it, by Ravel?
Yes, that was a lot of fun. I'd been playing it for the whole year, and that piece... It started out as being very difficult. I was like, oh my goodness, how am I ever going to learn this? I've never played anything so modern and so gypsy-like. It was very, I don't know how to describe it. It was crazy.
It's flamboyant.
Very flamboyant, yes. And I think the first couple months of learning it and the first couple competitions I did was like, wow, how do I manage this? This is like a whirlwind of notes. How do I do this? But then by June, I was able to get the handle on it. I was like, okay, now I know what to do with this piece now.
And that first piece, the first about 4 minutes or so, is just you. It's just the violin. The orchestra does not even show up until about a third of the way through it.
Yes, they're late. Mm-hmm. They're late. They stranded me.
How was it playing for an audience of 20,000 or so? Is that something you had not done before?
I did not know that was 20,000, and I'm glad I didn't know it that night. I definitely would not have...
Well, you can always see about 5,000 from where you were standing.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah. it was just like a ginormous farmer's market, and I've played at those before, so I was like, ah, I can do this. I can do this.
Well, I would say that you did do it. I was right there. I can say that you did. Well, you have a very nice program here. This is all going to be solo violin, and the first thing that you have decided to play is a little fantasy by Telemann, and he wrote a series of these, did he not, for solo violin, these short fantasies?
Yes, he wrote about 12 of them.
And are they, each one has, are they kind of like etudes in that each one has a different technical challenge, or are they literally more just freewheeling, do you think?
They're similar to the Bach sonatas and partitas, I think, where he had a specific idea in mind and wanted to get it down on paper. I'm not sure much about the history of them, but I'm pretty sure he wrote them based on what he was feeling at that moment.
Well, all right, let's hear one. And of the 12, which one is this?
This is the third fantasy in F minor.
Thank you. lovely stuff from the most prolific composer of all time, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, George Philip Telemann. That was his Fantasy Number 3 in F minor. And Telemann had quite a business sense, you know. He would publish pieces, and at the end of the piece, he would put the first page of his next thing to get people kind of hooked on that, you know, and then sell those things. It did not always work well for him, though, because his wife and her boyfriend absconded with all of his money at one point, and some friends had to kind of resuscitate Telemann's finances, Handel being among them, who helped out Telemann in a time of need. But that was a wonderful Fantasy Number 3 out of 12, played live in our studio by my guest, Emily Hauer, who is homeschooled, let's see, you're going into junior year?
Sophomore year.
Okay, sophomore year, homeschooled in Appleton, and has performed very widely. In fact, he performed on From the Top. It was,
yes,
a couple of years ago, I guess, now.
Yes, I believe it was in April of 2016, I believe so, yes.
And was that, what was the situation? Were you performing solo? Were you part of a trio at that point? Because I know you play chamber music.
Yes, I do love chamber music. I was part of Trio Lago Verde, which was here on the Midday,
yeah, probably, sure,
2 years ago. And then I was part of that group, and then we went to From the Top the following year.
Yeah, well, that was a wonderful trio that you had, Lago Verde, when you played. Do you remember what you played on the Midday on that occasion?
I think we played the Brahms B major piano trio. Ooh, and I think the Schubert piano trio, and I think E flat or B flat. I always get them mixed up.
Close enough.
But the second movement of that one, whichever one it was.
Close enough, yeah, and it was fun to watch you play because you were smiling much of the time, the three performers there, which, as we say, is, again, part of the idea is to have fun when you're performing. And, of course, to support your fellow performers. We have another solo violin work, this one more extended. It's by Eugene Izay. And Izay was a late 19th, early 20th century virtuoso violinist, and according to some accounts was the best violinist after Paganini, which implies that he was writing stuff for himself that was pretty tough. So what about this sonata that you're going to favor us with?
Oh, definitely. This one has been, I think, one of the most difficult pieces I have come across. When Dr. George gave me this piece, I was like, oh, the easy days are long gone. Uh-huh. I guess I have to play this now. Yeah. But it is a lot of fun. It's definitely stretches me as a musician in the practice room with lots of chords and lots of different areas of the technique that he targets, like chords and then long, extended, slow, really quiet passages, rolled chords, and fast trills and all that good stuff.
So kind of the high hurdles for a violinist.
Oh, yes, definitely.
This is the Sonata Number 4 in E minor by Eugene Izay. Thank you. Well, you're right. That was fun. And a lot of hurdles in there. The pizzicato in particular in the second movement, I believe.
Yes. Yes. It's one of the few times that we get to play. The pizzicato is such a... It doesn't... Violinists don't get to play pizzicato very much.
Really?
It's kind of a non-entity. And if I use that word correctly, I'm actually not sure what it means, but... you don't get to see it very often,
right.
And it's interesting that he would start a middle movement with that.
Yeah,
it's very
right.
Interesting.
I think that's what struck me in particular, is starting the movement that way.
Yeah.
Now we come back to our violinist who has come down to us from Appleton. She's homeschooled there, going into her sophomore year?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad I got that right this time, sophomore year. And she has already performed all over the place. She's performed with the Madison Symphony. She performed the first concert on the square with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra this summer. She's been on From the Top, and she is gracing our studio with three works today. And we have heard from Telemann and Izai, and now from a contemporary of Telemann's, Johann Sebastian Bach, who wrote this famous chaconne. And is it really a chaconne as a kind of a vehicle for variations? Is that true?
I actually do not know.
Are there
variations?
Well, are there variations? Do you have a sense in this piece that you're playing?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I think we're on solid ground.
Okay, that sounds good.
And of course, there's a very famous piano transcription by Ferruccio Busoni, and it's one of the great violin pieces too for solo violin. It comes from one of the partitas.
Yes, the D minor, the second partita.
And so what else do you have to report about this piece before we get into it? Before you get into it?
Well, it is very long.
17 minutes, yeah.
It's very taxing, both for the violinist and for the audience, in the sense that so much is going on. It's so deep and so rich. And it was written in the event of Bach's, I think, his first wife's death. And so it...
Maria Barbara.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can feel the emotions pouring from Bach's pen in this piece, definitely. It's very powerful.
Okay, and it's just called the Chaconne, the Bach Chaconne. And here it is, Emily Hauer performing it live in our studio.
Thank you.
Take a deep breath.
Yeah.
I'd say you earned it. Yeah. Do you know what a wunderkind is?
No, I confess I don't.
Well, that's what you are. As a person who achieves great things at a relatively early age.
Well, thank you very much.
And Emily Hauer is one of those. That was the Bach Shekhan. Take a chair there. You certainly, you've been standing really since for an hour or more, you know, working, you know, to make sure the sound was just right and then playing those three fantastic pieces. So what's the rest of your summer looking like?
Well, I'm just practicing, preparing for some competitions in the fall. I don't know, just surviving the summer heat, more or less this rainy weather.
That's
even
true.
Getting a lot of rain.
Well, it's a good day to be indoors playing the violin.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
What are you going to be playing then for these competitions?
Well, I actually haven't figured all of that out yet. I'm frantically making Google documents like, okay, this competition, I need this piece, this program.
It's complicated, isn't it?
Yeah. But I probably will be playing the Izai, and then probably, maybe not the Bach Chaconne, but a different, the Bach A minor sonata. That's as far as I figured out.
Did these competitions, any of them, they specify solo violin versus accompanied violin, or how does that part of it work?
They require certain pieces, so generally they require, like, a violin concerto, which I'll be playing Wieniawski's second concerto. They'll require...
Very good 19th century razzle-dazzle violin concerto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff in there, for sure. Usually they'll require a solo violin piece, so like a sonata or something. Oh, sorry. Sonata, they'll require usually a show piece, maybe Kreisler, and then usually like a piano, violin, sonata, chamber music. So
yeah, that's quite a handful right there.
Yes.
So what's the next piece you're going to be working on then? Do you even know? I mean, or are you kind of one thing at a time?
As of right now, pretty much like one thing at a time, but I'm starting to work on a Korean piece that was composed recently. I forgot who the composer was, but it's for the Sejong competition in Chicago, and then the Bach A minor sonata. I know that much.
With these competitions, are going to be pretty much sticking around to the Midwest or traveling farther afield?
Hopefully, I won't have to travel to them. I will be sending in CDs.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, usually for the preliminary rounds, they don't make you fly out to, say, Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. or something. So you send in CDs. But hopefully going there, but hopefully not going there. I don't know. I like traveling, but it's a lot.
Sure. Well, you know, if you're going to become a performer, it's all about the traveling. I mean, fantastic frequent flyer miles.
Really?
But also some disorientation inevitable, you know, when you're hopping across time zones and trying to figure out what country you're in and things like that.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that is part of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you continue with this.
Yeah.
Do you have any aspirations? I mean, you have, let's see, sophomores. You have 3 more years of high school?
Yes. Just for the next 3 years, I'm just taking auditions and getting as good as I can here with my teacher and practicing as much as I can, as much as I can stand to be in the practice room.
Well, there is that, too.
Yes.
Is there any problem with the other musicians in your household, you know, getting practice time in the home? Do you ever, like, bump elbows trying to get things done that way?
Only during the summer months when we have 4 people home all trying to get at the piano or all, like, we only have 3 rooms that we can practice
in.
So there are 4 kids in 3 rooms. You can imagine what happens there. But generally during the school year, it's just me at home since they all have jobs and they're out of college and grad school.
Those job things, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll come back sometime within the next year and play again.
I would love to. Thank you.